1 Timothy chapter 6. In a moment, the reading will start at verse 3, and the sermon is from verse 11. Jesus Christ, the righteous, Son of God and Son of Man, took upon himself the guilt of guilty sinners. For our sins, he suffered and bled and died, nailed to the cross. He was buried. Then on the third day, which was the first day of the week, he rose from the dead and was seen alive by many witnesses. He ordered that repentance and forgiveness of sins be preached in his name to all nations. So now, anyone who turns from his sins, believing in Jesus Christ, is forgiven for all the wrong he has done and is counted as just or righteous in God's sight in Christ. We who are so forgiven and so justified now live our lives in gratitude for what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. In the congregation of the saints, we worship him and we live in love toward one another, doing the good works that show the genuineness of our faith. Those are things that the Word of God teaches us. The Bible warns us against letting anyone give unbiblical teaching in the congregation. If there are people who would like to teach, but who do not consent to the wholesome words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine that accords with godliness, the disciples will find ourselves tempted to a number of sinful things. In the presence of false teaching, we'll be tempted to envying each other, reviling each other, having evil suspicions of each other. In such an environment, men of corrupt minds can flourish, whose ideas tempt God's people to such wickedness as desiring to be rich and loving money. Knowing that these things can be temptations for us as we live in this world, our Lord's Apostle Paul warns us to flee from these things. And as we turn to flee such sins, we then pursue the virtues that are the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. Having looked together in the past few weeks at some of the virtues that we are to pursue, today we'll contemplate together another virtue that we are to chase after and catch, which is meekness. 1 Timothy 6, starting at verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that gain is godliness. From such withdraw yourself. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Now the word here that we're dealing with today, by which we're being exhorted, needs to be the word meekness. often when our various Bibles translate a word by different synonyms, I just reference them all, and they help us understand. But in this case, I'm going to insist on considering this virtue that we're going to pursue, this virtue to be chased after, with the word meekness. Now, it could be that your Bible is showing you the word gentleness. That's what the Bible I have in front of me is saying. But really, I can't speak to you on this with the word being gentleness. The relationship between the biblical word and the word gentleness is something like this. This biblical virtue we're considering, when it is in a person and controlling a person, it then issues forth in gentleness as one of the things that this virtue produces. It is not really the same thing with gentleness. It is something from which gentleness flows, something that gentleness is a product of. We're going to work on it today with the word meekness. Our Greek word here is praotes, which occurs 9 times in the New Testament, all in Paul's letters. So it's a relatively common word. It is based on, it's a noun, meekness, praotes, based on adjectives and verbs of the same root. So taking all of those taken into consideration, occurs in the New Testament a number of times. Now, you know that we got a lot of what our Bible says by God's blessing on the work of William Tyndale in the 1520s. William Tyndale translated this word praotes as meekness in every place that it occurs. And then as more translations followed, that was always the way it was translated. Praotes, every time it appeared, always was made meekness, up through the late 1800s. Now, in the 20th century, in America, it became fashionable to use some other word for this, such as gentleness. By the end of the 20th century, meekness had been replaced almost completely with gentleness in the new crop of translations. So this morning when I'm preaching on this virtue, meekness, many of our Bibles say gentleness. So I want to ask you, please, when you come to this place, understand we're really talking about something more than gentleness, something that is foundational to the producing of gentleness, meekness. Now, I'm going to show you from a couple places in our Bibles that the word really needs to be meekness. I'm going to turn first to Matthew 5:5. This is the Sermon on the Mount, near the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the place we call the Beatitudes, because of the way that the several statements start with blessed are. You see that the Bible says here, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now that word right there is the root for our word meekness. This is the Greek word praos, from which we are getting praotes in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Blessed are the meek. And then the noun form of that is our word meekness that we're working with from 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, you know it's very traditional and very well known to render this blessed are the meek. Although I think some of the Bibles have taken to saying blessed are the humble. And again, humble, humility is a virtue similar to meekness, but is not the same thing. It's just a part of it. If we're going to say, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, then we have to say, pursue meekness, because meekness is the noun based on this adjective. I'm going to turn next to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And again, I'm showing you, this may be tedious. In my opinion, if the tedium is worth the result. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm showing you we really need to say meekness to talk about this virtue. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Now, our word we're working with today from 1 Timothy 6:11, the Greek word praotes, is the first word of those two right there. I am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. The second word is the word that really does mean gentleness. So you see that in our Bibles, in this place, there is the need to talk about gentleness and meekness. And so your Bible says meekness and gentleness, unless you've got one that I didn't know you have and didn't survey. But the same newer translations, like the New King James Version, which I have up here with me, and the ESV and the CSB, the same ones that over in 1 Timothy 6:11 have translated our word as gentleness. Here, when the word that really is gentleness appears in the same verse with our word, then they go ahead and call it meekness. Because, of course, they can't write, I appeal to you by the gentleness and gentleness of Christ. And so here they really give the translation, the traditional and, in my opinion, correct translation of praotes, so that it's the meekness and gentleness of Christ. In Jesus Christ, there is every virtue. There is every virtue to the full in Jesus Christ. Meekness and gentleness, not being exactly the same thing. So I've just shown you a couple of places here in our English translations from which you can see why I'm not satisfied to say, okay, today we're studying the virtue of meekness or gentleness or humility, whatever your Bible says. Sometimes I can do that, but not this time. It's really got to be meekness, because meekness is something distinct from gentleness and something more than gentleness. Now, you've turned to 2 Corinthians 10:1, and continuing to work from there, let me put this to you. This virtue of meekness that we're studying today, that we are to pursue, is all in reference to our Lord Jesus Christ. I suppose that could be said about every good thing, about every virtue. It's all in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. In this case, that's true verbatim. What the Bible tells us about meekness, it's directly related to Jesus Christ. As the apostle says right here, I am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. What Paul was doing was dealing with the Corinthian church in meekness. But the world does not love meekness. The flesh does not love meekness. To the world, when there is someone who acts very forceful and speaks very forcefully and deals out punishment very swiftly and harshly. The world can really admire a person like that, a leader like that. The world does not really admire meekness except where the world has been influenced by Christianity, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Corinthians, very unused to Christian virtue, were having people try to convince them that Paul was not really to be looked to because he was not forceful in his dealings with the church. He dealt with them in meekness. So Paul, needing to counter that criticism so that the Christians would not be separated from the apostles, had to explain to them that he was dealing with them in meekness because Jesus Christ is meek. He says, I'm appealing to you or pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Why do Christ's apostles say what they say? Because Jesus Christ said those things and told them to say it. Why do Christ's apostles act how they act? Because they're following the great example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is Paul meek toward the congregations? Because Jesus Christ is meek and gentle. I'm speaking to you about the fact that this virtue of meekness is all in the scriptures verbatim in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ himself, as Paul alluded to there, is meek. I'm going to look in Matthew chapter 11 and see there that the Lord Jesus Christ himself told us this about himself. He himself is meek, and he said so. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, again, I'm reading from the New King James Version, and I had to, go back to the older translations and import the word meek here because mine says gentle. But again, the way these virtues are related is that the Lord Jesus Christ deals gently with us because he is meek. The Bible here, what he said of himself was not, come to me for I am gentle. What he said was, come to me for I am meek. And then gentle is implied because someone who is meek will deal with people gently. But really the Lord Jesus Christ is not saying of himself here merely that he's gentle, but he's saying of himself that he is meek, praos, meekness, praotes. So the Lord Jesus Christ told us so himself, verbatim, I am meek. But then also, I'll be turning to Matthew 21, he also quoted Old Testament prophecy that said he would be meek. Matthew 21, and this is in the beginning of Matthew 21, the triumphal entry, the Lord Jesus Christ entering Jerusalem and people worshiping him, welcoming him. Matthew 21, 5, and here the Lord Jesus is quoting Old Testament prophecy about himself. Tell the daughter of Zion, meaning essentially the people of Jerusalem, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, meek, and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, the Bible I'm looking at says lowly, Maybe you're seeing humble or something like that. And again, lowliness or humility, those are also virtues. And lowliness or humility is maybe a component of meekness. There is more to meekness than lowliness or humility. And really, right here, the prophecy is that he will be coming to his people meek. And the meekness is exhibited in the fact that he rides in on a donkey or ass or burro. You know, the normal thing for a conquering, powerful king to do would be to come in riding on a charger, right? On a horse. Or riding in a chariot drawn by horses. But the Lord Jesus Christ, it was prophesied he would come riding on a donkey, which is a picture of his meekness. And so then the Lord Jesus Christ, to make sure that everyone saw that he was the fulfillment of this, he indeed came in riding on a donkey. The Lord Jesus Christ, the virtue of meekness, is all in reference to him. You know, Paul said, I appeal to you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Jesus Christ said of himself, I am meek. And he was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy that said he would be meek. And then he preached about meekness in his disciples. I'm turning back to Matthew 5:5, where we looked already. Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, these Beatitudes are a progressive, built one on the other, description of the disciple of Jesus Christ. It's not that he means there are some people who are poor in spirit and that's good for them, some people who mourn and that's good for them. No, he means that all of this, by the work of God's grace and the Holy Spirit regenerating, this is the description of the sinner who is passing from death to life, of the person who is dead in trespasses and sins, but the Holy Spirit is bringing him to life in Jesus Christ. And part of this is that the person is meek. Now, the Lord Jesus quoted from the Old Testament scriptures many times. The Lord Jesus is essentially the Word of God. The Word of God is him. All of it is his Word. He is all of it. And so for something to be said by David in one of the Psalms, and then for the Lord Jesus Christ to quote it, well, that just makes perfect sense. And the Holy Spirit was carrying David along to write those words, and the Lord Jesus came and was full of the Holy Spirit beyond measure. And so you have David writing in Psalm 37, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And then you have the Lord Jesus preaching to his disciples, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, from here, I think a number of you have been along with me to study meekness starting right here. Because from here, I go to Psalm 37. So I'm going to turn there to Psalm 37 and look at some things with you. Now, here's my thinking on this. And, you know, I've read a lot of things, and it's starting to be a number of years since I read them, and I don't remember where exactly I picked this up, but I'll tell you what I have ended up convinced of. When Jesus makes a brief reference to something, and you can identify it as something from the Old Testament, you can then go to that Old Testament place that he is making a brief reference to, read it in more length, and understand what he's meaning. That's the nature of allusion, right? You make a brief reference to some longer, better known thing, and then it's by knowing that thing that you can say that. You know, if somebody said sometime, you know, that was a Herculean effort, well, that's an allusion to the Greek mythology about Hercules and his great strength and his amazing extensive labors. An allusion. When the Lord Jesus Christ is preaching and he says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, then in my opinion, you go to Psalm 37 where that line appears and you study there to understand what he's talking about the meek and about meekness. We've had study of this together before, so I'm going to make this more brief than if Psalm 37 was our whole study. I appreciate Brother Dylan reading this aloud earlier. Psalm 37, we're going to take our most of our understanding of meekness from what we read here. Psalm 37:1, meekness comes into play when we're having to deal with evil, with the effects of evil on this world, especially with people who are doing evil. See that in Psalm 37:1, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. When sin has an ill effect on you, especially when it is someone who is sinning and it's hurting you, that's when meekness comes in. So meekness is when we have to deal with people doing evil, and then we are not fretful or anxious or worried. There in verse 1 again, do not fret because of evildoers. Meekness is not being fretful or anxious or worried or envious. See that also in verse 1. Nor envious of the workers of iniquity. And then down to verse 8, when this comes up again, cease from anger and forsake wrath. And again, do not fret. Is anybody here who might need to be exhorted, do not fret more than once? Okay, we got more than one of those here. Don't fret. And by the way, don't fret. Okay, in meekness, a person is dealing with evil. Somehow evil is having an ill effect on you or threatens to. And meekness is not being fretful, anxious, worried, nor being envious. Somebody's doing evil and things are going really well for him. Not envying that. And not being angry or full of wrath. Evil is affecting me, and I'm getting mad about it. Not that. Meekness is when we're dealing with evil, not being fretful, anxious, worried, not being envious, not being angry or wrathful, instead trusting in the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord. And then it goes on to say that more times in this psalm, in case any of us needs to be exhorted to trust in the Lord more than once. Instead, trusting in the Lord. Instead, delighting in the Lord. You see in verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord. Verse 7, resting in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And that is nearly synonymous with trust in the Lord. Sometimes we use to rest as a way to kind of explain what it means to trust or believe. Also in verse 7, waiting patiently for the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret. It says do not fret, I guess, at least 3 times. For those who might need to be exhorted not to fret 3 times. So meekness, as shown here in Psalm 37, where the Lord, to which the Lord alluded, from which he quoted when he said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." It's when we have to deal with the effects of sin, not being fretful, anxious, worried, envious, angry, instead trusting in the Lord, delighting in the Lord, resting in the Lord, waiting patiently for the Lord. Now, the concept of humility or lowliness is in there. Certainly this is not compatible with haughtiness or pride. The concept of humility or lowliness is in there. Gentleness certainly is produced by this meekness, but you can see here essentially what meekness is. I'm going to tell you a summary of this. I found this in my old notes, and it still rang true to me. I think I prepared this to say to you years ago. Meekness, having such a view of yourself as low servant and God as high sovereign, that you can put down the passions that try to flare up in you when you are threatened or injured, knowing that the Lord takes care of such things. And so you can deal gently even with the very people who are wronging you. I'll read over that again, and you can tell I've been trying to derive this from what we're reading in the scriptures. Meekness, having such a view of yourself as low servant and God as high sovereign, that you can put down the passions that try to flare up in you when you are threatened or injured, knowing that the Lord is taking care of such things. And so you can deal gently even with the people who are wronging you. Now, reading what we read here in Psalm 37, me pointing out these points and giving that summary, think how our Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated His amazing meekness when He had to deal with us for sin. He was tempted as we are, tempted to be fretful, envious, angry. But He prayed in the garden that He would not do His own human will, but would do the divine will. He did not lash out at us for our sins that were the necessity for Him doing this. You know, He did not lash out at those who were wronging Him in betraying Him, arresting Him, torturing Him, and killing Him. Instead, He trusted in the Lord and waited patiently through all of that suffering for the deliverance that He knew would come from God when He had done all the Father's will. The meekness of Jesus Christ there on display, helping us to know that we are getting the right idea of meekness from there in Psalm 37. Now, here we sit, the congregation of the saints, the church of the living God, the church of God, the household of the living God. And we really need to know, what about meekness as more directly related to the congregation? For this, I'm going to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. You know that in the congregation, we are having to deal with the effects of sin. Sin is at work in your flesh and mine even now, tempting us to things. And I am not loving you perfectly, and you are not loving me perfectly. The things that we do have an ill effect on each other. And you know, sin has been at work in us in the past, before now. Some of the ways that we have ended up being today really are not perfection, have been worked in us by sin in the past, to where it can be that I'm inconsiderate of you, you're inconsiderate of me. It can be that I say or do things that really aren't best, really aren't wisest, but that's kind of how I've ended up because of sin. And I do say those things, and it might bother you some, or there might be about you some of the same. In the congregation, in any congregation, you know, there'll be that kind of rubbing each other the wrong way that happens slightly all the time and more intensely sometimes. Well, here's where meekness is called for, and where meekness can be to the wonderful advantage of the congregation. Ephesians 4, 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, bearing with one another in love in such a way as to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace in a congregation over the course of years and decades, that takes lots of virtue from the Lord Jesus Christ worked in us by the Holy Spirit. Because boy, stuff comes up, and people get unhappy and crossways with each other. And listen what the apostle said. Listen to this whole list of things. Lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, all in the endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now just think, when you're having to deal with the effects of sin, because other people in the congregation and you yourself have not been acting in perfect love, and you end up with some sort of conflict, some sort of irritation, some sort of disappointment. Just think, if it is that when you're faced with sin and people doing sinful things and the effects of that on you, well, just think what it'd be like if you don't fret over it, you don't become envious, you don't get all mad. Instead, you trust the Lord, rest in Him, wait patiently for Him. What was the fourth one? I'll have to look a page back. I forget. Delight in Him. Just think about that. If someone's non-delightful conduct in the congregation does not produce in you anger, because your delight is not essentially in other people, but is in the Lord. Think how handy a lot of meekness would come in. We're being told, you know, to flee these sinful temptations, like the love of money, and pursue or chase after these virtues. Well, what if a congregation like this has been doing a lot of chasing after the virtue of meekness? And God helping us, what if we are abounding in meekness, and then some sort of conflict or trouble comes up, and somebody hurts your feelings, or somebody disappoints you, you know, whatever. if we've caught up with and grabbed and are in possession of some nice meekness, well, then it will serve us very well in maintaining the loving unity in the congregation in the bond of peace. Now, I'll turn next to Colossians chapter 3. You remember from previous study that Ephesians and Colossians run parallel quite a bit, written by the same apostle in the same time, seemingly. They follows a lot of the same themes. And so it's often real helpful to go read about the same subject in one and in the other. Helps you to be more sure you're getting what the apostle is saying. Colossians 3, verse 12, the same subject in slightly different terms, but also including the word meekness. Colossians 3, starting in verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, and here's our word, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, or which binds it all together in perfect unity. So you see how meekness comes to play. The apostle points out the necessity and value of meekness in with similar virtues like humility and long-suffering, and shows how in these there can be forgiveness of one another, even when somebody, you know, when someone else wrongs you. Now, I was thinking about how in Psalm 37, the sin that David is talking about is the sin of the wicked, evildoers. Well, here the apostle is not in particular addressing the sin of evildoers, of the wicked. He's addressing dealing with problems within the congregation among the disciples of Jesus Christ, who are not the wicked, but we still have sin remaining in our flesh that comes out and manifests itself in various ways, and we stumble into temptation and we sometimes mistreat each other. Well, if meekness is what's called for when you're dealing with the wicked, well, then surely meekness will serve well if you're only dealing with your fellow believers in Christ who are causing you some minor offense, if it will do for dealing with the wicked. So we keep the peace and unity in the church partly through meekness. And then, you know, when someone's conduct must be corrected, there's minor annoyances all the time and, you know, slight offenses that really amount to nothing that happen frequently. But there are times when something is more serious, more pronounced, and it needs to be corrected. Someone needs to correct someone. Well, then meekness is called for again. I'll turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, there, clearly, the idea of meekness producing gentleness is present. A number of the Bibles, I think, say gentleness, but the word really is meekness. It's the same virtue that we've been working with all along, as in 1 Timothy 6:11. Here we're not talking about, you know, the wicked, but we're talking about someone in the congregation, and then you notice that this person is overtaken in trespass. Isn't that interesting? We're working with the metaphor of fleeing from temptation and pursuing virtue. Here's someone who's not really been fleeing and has been overtaken in some trespass. Well, then, you who are spiritual, this person is acting carnal. You who are spiritual, go and restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. This is not a matter where you're all fretting about it. Not a matter in which you're envying him. Not a matter in which you're all full of wrath toward him. But the meekness in you, whereby you are patiently waiting on the Lord and trusting in him and delighting in him, then you go to this person in a spirit of meekness, which issues forth in gentleness, and you restore such a person. You know, that would be referring to something more than just the minor little irritations that are going on all the time among any group of people, something more serious than that. But then there is something more serious still that would still call for meekness. I'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy 2, starting in verse 24. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in meekness, there's our word, in meekness, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Now, someone who really sets himself in opposition to what is true and right according to the scriptures, if he stays like that, the church eventually will have to cast him out, will have to exclude him. Hopefully, even after that, he will be granted repentance and will be able to be restored to the church. But before it comes to that, the man of God can try to correct someone, even someone who's is not just kind of, you know, irritating a little bit sometimes, and it's not just that he's been overtaken by some trespass, but this person has actually set himself up in opposition. Still, an effort can be made to correct such a person, and that correcting, of course, is to be done in meekness. That'd be akin to what the Apostle Paul was talking about as we read in 1 Corinthians. I'm dealing you with correcting you in meekness, appealing to the meekness of Jesus Christ. So this virtue that the Apostle is saying to chase after, to pursue, it's a virtue that has direct application to life in the congregation, specifically to the long-term ongoing maintaining of the peaceful unity of the Spirit in the congregation. Whatever problems arise that are due to sin, whether they're extremely minor, whether they're kind of medium, or whether they are quite severe, dealing with them is to be in meekness. There being such danger in temptations to act hatefully to other people in the congregation, and in temptations to desire to be rich, to love money, let us flee from such things and pursue meekness, specifically the meekness that is in Jesus Christ and from Him and unto Him. I don't usually include any poetry in the sermon, but I have a short poem on this subject with which to conclude. Jesus, so mighty a master, modeled such meekness among men, that we, unprofitable servants living to follow Him, favor forbearance and forgiveness over finding faults in our friends. We race to remission and restoration rather than resort to revenge. We prefer to plead than to punish. Believe it better to beg than to brawl. We put patience in place of passion, and we lavish love over all. The meekness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray.